In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting that might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of the father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Please take a seat. And can I add my welcome? My name's Kev. I'm the minister of the church. So good to have you with us. So thrilled that you've been able to join us this evening as we start our Christmas celebrations. If you're not familiar with the children's school nativity play, where they all dress up as shepherds and angels and Mary and Joseph, here's an example of how it goes. The main focus is not the kid on camera. That's how you get revenge if you don't get asked to play the main character. It's the way to do it. That child, who's doing a brilliant job of stealing the show, is actually playing the angel Gabriel. And that's kind of appropriate, because in those readings that we had from Luke's Gospel, it is Gabriel who by far and away gets the biggest speaking part. So the kid was annoying but biblical in that sense. Luke, who wrote this, he's a careful and hugely respected historian of the era. Brave historian, though, who claims eyewitness testimony, promises you can have certainty, and then immediately all this airtime to the angel of the Lord? Seriously? Well, the Bible lives in the real world where these things don't normally happen. That's the point. These are totally unique events to mark a totally unique moment. Heaven touches earth in this angel, to announce that a weary world is changing forever. The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe is a classic children's novel by C.S. Lewis. The theatre version is on probably right now, about 10 minutes down the road that way. The book tells the story of Narnia, a country where it was always winter, but never Christmas. It's kind of a haunting description of a world cursed and cold. And Israel, 2,000 years ago, was a bit like that. Days of Herod, it says, there's a despot to make you shudder, a king prepared to commit any crime to further his ambitions, including murdering his own family. Days of no children for this older couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, sentence 7. Their personal tragedy seems to symbolize a nation sad and sterile. Days of silence from God. 400 years since there'd even been a prophet of the Lord. A weary world. Can we relate? Perma-crisis was just named the word of 2022 by Collins Dictionary. Perma-crisis, the dizzying sense of lurching from one unprecedented event to another as we wonder bleakly what new horrors might be around the corner. rings true at the global level. Closer to home, this holiday time is one where our own particular disappointments, losses, messes are more sharply felt. Always winter in Narnia and never Christmas. And then, do you know what happened in that story? Something changed in Narnia. Finally, they had a Christmas. Because Aslan, we're told, was on the move. Luke is describing that kind of moment for a couple, a country, a planet. God is on the move here. You know, Advent's supposed to be a season of hope and anticipation, but hope can feel dangerous. Hope makes us vulnerable to hope dashed. Sorry about the football last night, if that bothered you. Luke wants us to lean in with certainty to the hope of Jesus. I wonder if you'll be able to. One angel, Gabriel, two visits, Zechariah and Mary, two of them troubled by the visit, both told not to be afraid, two special babies promised, and two different responses to the angel's words. Which response will you follow? First, the Zechariah, sentence 5 onwards. This scene is like an Old Testament remix, and you can probably get that vibe even if you don't have a background in church, because we meet a priest, we're in a temple, names like Aaron, Elijah, an aging couple who couldn't conceive. Hasn't that happened before when God's been on the move? Verse 13, the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord." How wonderful, how appropriate. A baby promised joy to the joyless. Really has felt these last couple of years like it's been one thing after another. And if there's no one in charge out there, well, eat, drink, and be merry at Christmas, because that's all there is before we crash and burn in our purposeless existence. This says we live in a world where the God of old is alive and hears prayers and has a plan that he's now getting involved to accomplish. Zechariah is a Christmas dad. Maybe you've never heard of the other Christmas baby. There are other Christmas babies all the time, I guess. One in 365 of us must have been born on Christmas Day. Do you know, I was reading about some of the boys' baby names that suddenly become more popular around December 25th. So Joseph, Gabriel, Luke, and this one is the one that got my attention. These are government statistics. Kevin is genuinely one of the names that gets much more popular at this time of year. There's no angel Kevin. It's him. It's that guy, basically. The kid from Home Alone. That well-known religious story. Anyway, the other Christmas baby here grows up to be John the Baptist. And he would be great, but he's just the warm-up act to go before the Lord, verse 17, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And as you look at that, you can see that John's future mission is dripping with implication. Many weren't prepared to meet the Lord. Are you ready for Christmas? We get asked, well, who cares compared to this? Are you ready to meet your Maker? Plenty of reasons why people wouldn't be. Too cynical. Too disappointed to keep faith with him. Too much leaning into other helpers. But God was on the move. Earthward. Thing was, were his people facing towards him at all? Are we? Well, we should want to be, because in a world that feels always winter, never Christmas, suddenly Christmas. Two visits from Gabriel, two babies promised. Mary's very different from Zechariah, though. He's old, she's young, he's a man, she's a girl. He's in the temple, the heart of national and spiritual life. She's from Nazareth, just a provincial backwater that London snobs like us would consider a joke. But her child will be the greater one. Verse 31, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there'll be no end. I mean, it's hard to imagine. How did Mary even process this information? How's she going to explain it to the fiancé when they meet up after work? How was your day, Mary? Well, funny you ask. There was an angel, right? There's going to be a baby. Okay, he's going to be great. Wow. And I'm pregnant right now, but don't worry because the Father is the Holy Spirit. What? You know, I think we can feel a bit superior to folks from the olden days, as if they were inherently more gullible, prone to believe in virgin births all over the place. Now, Mary knows where babies come from. Take it that's why she asks the question in verse 34. How will this be, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. See, we need more than John. We need even more than an angel. We need God himself to dive into our brokenness personally. And doesn't this divine intervention, well, it promises so much that we really do crave. So it's just obvious we need better leaders than the failed leadership we've grown so used to. Here is a promise of a great leader. We need a better kind of human than the failed humanity that we all are. We've all turned from God and messed up. It wasn't just them back then, let's be honest. Here's a promise of a holy child, a different one. We need a bigger hope that will last long after the Christmas lights have gone out. His is a kingdom promised where there will be no end. Rome, you know, where Jesus was born into, they love to think of themselves as going to last forever. Son of God. That was a superhero language back then. It was like calling yourself Mr. Fantastic or The Thing. Not only in Jewish culture, if you wanted to be someone, well, Son of the Gods was a title many claimed. Would Jesus actually live up to the hype, though? It's been mentioned that you've got one of these Luke's Gospels in front of you there in the pew. I'd love you to take one away with you. That's yours to keep. Read on. See for yourself as he lives and dies and rises and reigns and pours out this same Holy Spirit. You know, millions have been forgiven. Cultures have been shaped. The world has been changed forever. As the Spirit of God hovered over the waters at the beginning of creation, God is on the move again here. And by that same Spirit, this tiny embryo inside Mary is the seed of a whole new creation. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Seriously, though? It says nothing will be impossible with God. Another Old Testament echo that takes us to the challenge. Can we take him at his word with any certainty? Two visits, two babies promised, two different responses. And on one level, I thought at first, they don't look that different. Zechariah and Mary both have questions, doubts. The difference is not that some people have questions and doubts and other people don't. We all do. But verse 18, Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man. My wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered him, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place. Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Zach is the priest. He's supposed to remember what the Lord is capable of, but he basically looks Gabriel in the face and says, really? And the angel takes it personally. Verse 19 is, don't you know who I am? The angel of angels sent from the very presence of God is standing you right next to you making promises. What more do you want Gabriel to do? A backflip? Well, Zechariah didn't believe the fulfillment of these words was possible. And he faced the penalty for that. Mary, on the other hand, she's asking about the mechanics. In her response, verse 34, she's never had sex. But she believed there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And so she said, behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Those have echoed down history as words of faith. And it becomes the defining issue in the whole of Luke's gospel. What do you do with the words about Jesus? The words of Jesus. Will you believe his promises and be blessed like Mary? Or like Zechariah, not believe, which is the path to judgment. Maybe we are too cynical, too disappointed to keep faith with God. That's understandable. We all have our questions and doubts. I know I do. You may just have had a rotten year. I'm really sorry about that. But the hope here is not maybe something dramatic will come into your weary world. This is an announcement that someone has come. Luke says, all you've heard about Jesus, well, you can be certain of. He says, the God of old has dived in and everything has changed. Often it feels like it's still winter, doesn't it? I don't mean the weather outside today. It's just that there's a lot of thawing still to do if God really is going to bring a new creation. Well, all the evidence in here says it will not always be winter. This wounded world is not the last word, if only you believe the word. Happy Christmas. Mary is our role model. Joining in her words would be the right response. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. He will reign forever. Well, let it be to me according to your word. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending us your Son, and thanks for the encouragement and hope this brings. Thanks that through the words we've heard today, we see your care and your love for us and your plan for our broken and weary world. May this comfort us in the doubts, difficulties, and seemingly impossible life challenges that we face. We pray for London City Mission, for the work that they're doing to reach marginalized groups, and for the work they do to help tackle homelessness in the UK. We pray that you'll continue to provide people and finances to keep their work going. We also pray over the cost of living crisis, especially families most affected this winter. We pray that you'll bring comfort and support to get us all through these tough times, and that people will have some warmth this Christmas and will be able to enjoy time with their families. Amen.